Praise the Lord, church. Such an awesome presence. Thank you so very much to our praise team and welcoming the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. So good to see all of you today on this July 4th Independence Day weekend. And I was thinking about all of the things. I don't know why I looked at this weekend more like a Thanksgiving weekend than the July 4th weekend. I guess maybe as you get older, the fireworks aren't quite so impressive to you, I guess, maybe. Or because you don't have them yourself. I don't know what it is. But I was thinking about just all the things that I'm thankful for. And, you know, we look at everything that's going on in our world today and in our country today, and I don't know, you can go ahead and you can criticize and badmouth, and there's no place I'd rather live than a good old-fashioned United States of America. I'm sorry. I was always told, if you don't like something, leave. I always get a kick out of all these people that say that they're going to leave if they don't get what they want. I don't think any of them have ever left yet. But nevertheless, it is great to be here today and just feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place with all of my brothers and sisters. Continue to pray one for another. I was talking with Sister Vicki Vernon, Brother Ben, before service, and they've been traveling all over the country ministering the last few weeks, put on thousands of miles and such, and we are so blessed here at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm so thankful for our teams that we have, our video and sound and music, and not every church has these options available to them, and a lot of our smaller churches scattered all across the country are struggling, severely struggling. And it's not so much, you know, it's not always finances. It's not always, sometimes as a pastor, I face some of the same struggle, and that is, Lord, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What do you want from us? What do you want from me? And so we're going to pray here this morning. Thank you so very much, Sister Sierra, for just letting the Lord use you in our worship service. But we want to pray for our bishop. He called me this morning. Oh, I get those calls on Sunday morning, and I know exactly. Before, when I used to get the calls, it was, yeah, son, I'm not going to be there. You're going to have to preach this morning. And I would try to not to answer the call until after church. And then I would find out that Brother Seidel and Brother Thomas and everybody was waiting till after church because they didn't want to have to. So whoever got to preach was whoever answered the phone. He calls this morning and he's, oh, son, I'm so sorry. I'm just all broke down. He's watching right now. So to our broke down bishop, we all love him. Turn back and wave at her. We love our bishop. And just pray he's having some back issues. And just continue to pray for him. Pray for this service. Brother Ben Smith did a phenomenal job on Wednesday evening. He's going to complete his series this morning. And Victoria, you can have that baby after about noon today. So if you want to. So, and we have a number of people that are out vacationing, traveling, people all over the state. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome presence of your spirit that we feel here today. Lord, we ask you to bless our bishop, touch our bishop. Lord, take away his back issues, God. Touch him. Lord, we need our elders in our lives, Lord. And I pray, God, that your hand would be upon him. Lord, I pray for all of our brothers and sisters across this great country of ours, across this world. Lord, that are struggling, Lord, to take and just make things happen from week to week in their local assemblies. And I ask you, Lord God, that your hand of guidance would be upon my brothers. So many of them, Lord, I don't even know. I haven't even spoke to. But God, they are my brother. They are my sister. And I pray, God, that your hand would be upon this country, Lord God. I pray, God, for all of the unrest, all of the unhappiness, dear God. Lord, it's not a political issue, God. It's a sin issue. And until we address the sin issue, God, we'll never be able to fix the political issue. God, I thank you for being here today and feeling your presence. Touch all our brothers and sisters that are traveling, all of our families. Keep them safe in your hand from harm's way. Touch Brother Ben today as he preaches the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. If you're a guest of ours, it is an honor to have you here. Whether you're here with us physically or you're online, it is an honor to have you worshiping with us here at Calvary Gospel Church. It has been a very hot week. I don't know about the rest of you, but I just want to, can I just take a few moments to just share a real blessing? You know, so many of you have helped. I've had this dirt hole in my backyard for 5-6 years, something like that. It's all full of water. And my grandkids were over this weekend swimming. And maybe I'll show you some pictures of it all when I get a little bit further, some of the landscaping done around it. But I'm so thankful. I was sitting out there last night. You know how it is. It's just like a little kid. You got your feet in the water splashing, and it felt so good. And then I was walking around in my knees. And then I got my pants were all wet, and I just thought, you know what? Nobody's going to yell at me if I just jump in. So I just jumped right in, and it was so great. And I was just sitting there thinking, thanking the Lord. I know it's very superficial, but when it's 90 degrees out and your air conditioner's not keeping up, boy, it sure feels good. Enough for that, but anyway, it's Mission Sunday today, the first Sunday of the month, so if you'd like to give, we have some giving options. You go to cgcmadison.org, click on the give link, and you can go text to give, you can do the tithing and offering or missions, and you can see the number up on the board there, and or you can just mail it here to Calvary Gospel Church, 5301 Commercial Avenue. We also want to just stress, as many of you know, the county it hasn't really affected us as a church as of yet, as far as some of their new restrictions. A lot of the restaurants were up to 50%. Now I believe they're back to 25%. So just understand and be careful. If you're not comfortable with shaking people's hands here at church, you don't have to shake hands. We're not forcing you to do that. If you want to do the fist bump, elbow bump, toe touch, whatever is comfortable with you is fine with me. And as I said, just be mindful of the church family, and we want to keep everyone safe through all this. I talked with Brother Buster yesterday afternoon. He's very excited about coming. He'll be here with us next week, next Sunday morning, and I'm excited about that. So just remember to Brother Buster will be here at 10 a.m. So I am excited. Brother Ben Smith started a series on Wednesday night, did a phenomenal job, and we want him to come this morning again and continue his series. God bless you, Brother Ben. Love you. Appreciate you. And you have your own microphone, so there you go.
Thank you, Pastor. I mean, can we do that for Jesus? I mean, there's nobody like Jesus. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our closest friend, our way maker, our promise keeper. Amen. It's great to be with you. And yes, baby girl's not here yet, but she's just keeping you all living in faith with the rest of us. Amen, because people kept wondering if we're going to be here. I want to give honor to Pastor and the entire leadership team, to Pastor Demas, and all those that work in the altar team, to Bishop. I wouldn't be here without the investment that this church and the ministry and body of Christ has put within me. And I want to recognize that, because nobody's an island. Amen, we're a body. We all work together. We need each other. Amen? And we need everybody online too. Amen? You can say amen at home. Amen. We love you. God bless you. I'm excited. There's a spirit of expectation in the house this morning. But before we dive into the word this morning, I need my little buddy to come up here. We always preach as a family, and he wanted to do this on Wednesday, but we just ran out of time. So he wants to come and greet you really quick and say something. Say it really quick, buddy.
God's really good. Sister Zana's here.
So in case you didn't hear that, God is really good, and sister's almost here. Thank you, buddy. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. This morning I'm going to be speaking to you about present to heal. On Wednesday night I spoke about being present, how God needs his body to be present in this hour. But remember, Jesus was the ultimate role model. Amen? And he was present for us, and he said, he gave that example to the apostles, and they followed him, and then they told the church to follow them as they followed Christ. And ultimately, we're all following those that have went before us. Amen. I'm still following my pastor, and he followed his pastor, and so on and so forth. And that's the beauty of this glorious gospel. Amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to be briefly talking about the gifts, but to give you a little background, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit that so many people talk about, but there's also 9 fruits of the Spirit, and there's also 9 Beatitudes. That's a series for another time, but they do all connect. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We know the church at Corinth was considered to be one of the most spiritual churches in the New Testament, according to the Apostle Paul. And Paul did not want them to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Now, jumping down to verse 4. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Notice it says to every man. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word which is already anointed. But God, Father, please right now this morning, anoint my lips of clay. Let me speak as the oracles of the Holy Ghost. God, let me speak in this service to minister, to challenge. God, let your word go forth. God, have your way. God, we thank you for this time we can gather together. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve an awesome God. And understand Brother Hernandez, who's went on to his reward, but he was a very powerful voice in my life. He felt impressed at the end of last year, beginning of this year, that 2020 was a year of impartation. Now, 2020 is obviously probably a lot different than what most of us thought 2020 would be. But I do believe God is imparting spiritual gifts. See, I made mention on Wednesday night, and I greatly respect my father and my mother and the gift that they gave to me by bringing me into the truth. But understand a little bit about my parents. They've loved God, and they've been in the church for many years. But my father was a drunk pig farmer that when he came to this gospel, he couldn't read or write, and God taught him how to read out of the Bible. My mother was a drug-using hippie, and God brought her out of that life into this church, into this glorious gospel. But see, God forever changed my heritage from one of lost without hope to one full of hope, full of glory, renewed and refreshed every single day. But with that being said, I'm nobody special. I'm just a willing vessel. And if God's been so gracious to use me, God will also use you. And God wants to use all of his body. And I'm pulling from my elders. It's so great to see Brother and Sister Caskey here this morning. And Elder Caskey texted me this morning, and I'm just going to use a little bit of what he texted me. But he challenged me and challenged the church that it's time for the church to wake up and not wait for organized revival, but be the light that God called them to be wherever God placed them. And so on behalf of Elder Caskey, I'm challenging you this morning. Will you be the light that God called you to be where God placed you? Amen. God placed us all over the state and probably all over the world, wherever you're watching online. And God uniquely, specifically, and divinely placed you there. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by mistake. God just didn't randomly throw the dice and let you land somewhere. God specifically created you, shaped you, and formed you in your mother's womb. He called you. He gifted you. He's given every one of us the ministry of reconciliation. No, we may not all stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel, but every one of us, say that means me, everyone, is called to preach this gospel to the lost and dying in this world. And if you're a born-again believer, if you've repented of your sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with His Spirit, you have access to use these gifts in your world. Now understand, it's not to lift you up. It's not to glorify you. What I'm going to talk about today is not to build up Benjamin Smith. It's not to establish my name, but it's to establish His name. Because we are nothing without Jesus. And we could do nothing. And I'm so appreciative of everybody that told me good job and thank you for Wednesday night. But that's just a product of all the men of God that have poured into me and of God's holy word. Without this Bible, we would be nothing and we could do nothing. And I'm appreciative because I do appreciate those words of encouragement, but I couldn't do this without God and without great men and women of God that prayed over me and poured into my life. I'm a product of that, as are we all. Amen. We didn't get here by ourselves. But understand, God wants to do something great in this service this morning. In Ephesians 3 and 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that," notice this, "that worketh in us." God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly, more than we can think, ask, or imagine, but it's going to come from the power that's inside of us. But we have to let that power out. We have to let the Holy Ghost flow wherever the Holy Ghost leads us. And this morning, let me just ask two questions before I get there. How many here need a miracle? Raise your hand. And if you're online, you can raise it at home. How many here want a miracle? Then I'm here to tell you, you can receive it right now today. And I know Brother Buster's coming next week, and this is not to steal anything from what he's doing. We're working together in a body. And this morning what I'm going to be doing is sharing faith, and I'm going to be challenging you to prepare the atmosphere to let God out to be what God wants, so that when he comes next Sunday, God will exponentially do what he planned, promised, and wants to do in this service. But understand, many of us need healing. What you may need may be a financial need, maybe something in your family, maybe physical or mental. We're going to talk about that. But understand, first, I'm going to get you uncomfortable. And then we can preach a little bit. So at this time, I'd like Sister Claudia, if she could come up to the front, and Brother Raphael, if you could come up to the front. I'm going to ask them four simple questions. And I want us all to think about this. Amen? My first question. Jesus is my daddy. Sister Claudia, who's your daddy?
Jesus.
Brother Raphael, who's your daddy? The church is my mother. Who's your mother?
The church.
Who's your mother? My family name is Jesus. What's your family name?
Jesus.
The blood flowing inside my veins is Jesus' blood. What's in your veins?
Jesus' blood.
Jesus' blood.
Thank you. Understand, unity is not the same as uniformity. I'm going to say that again. Unity is not the same as uniformity. We may not all look the same. We may not all act the same. We may not all agree on the same thing, but we serve an awesome God and He has a unified church. Well, you say, why are you talking about that? I'll tell you why. Because see, yes, some sicknesses, some diseases come from outside the body, but some develop within with hatred and bitterness and anger and racism. Racism is a sin. This country was not founded on racism. I don't care what they teach in these new textbooks. This country was founded on freedom and equality. All men were created equal under God. But understand, no, we may not always look the same, act the same. It doesn't matter if you're Native American or Hispanic American or African American. And I know you maybe haven't heard this one, but Euro-American. Because we're all descendants from somewhere that came to this great land under God to fulfill His great promise. And God wants to use the church. But we have to let God heal us from the inside. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our world is in need of healing. And the church has to be unified to let God out. Come on, somebody. I want you to hear the pull of the Spirit this morning. God is trying to speak into somebody's life. God loved us while we were yet sinners. God wasn't prejudiced against us while we were sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He laid down His life willingly. Why that I can live? And then He asked, said, His bride, the beautiful church of God, go out and do likewise. No, I may not always agree with the world. I don't condone their sin, but I'm going to love them because they're lost and they need Jesus. And you can say, well, maybe I'm confined at home or I'm watching online. That's fine. You can still pray. The power that's going to go forth from this message today is not by me alone, but is by all those that have been praying and unified for the purpose and plan of God. Because we're a body, like I talked about on Wednesday night, like that clock, all those little gears working together. There's no big I's and little U's in the body of Christ. I grew up hearing that. That's what my father would always say. But understand, life is what you make it. And I was raised on this, and I'll be honest, I so despised hearing this saying growing up, but my mother would always tell me, happiness is a choice. And as a child, you don't like to hear that, because if you're not happy, Pastor, you don't want to think, well, you can choose to be happy. But understand, happiness is a choice. Can you say that with me? Even at home, happiness is a choice. And you know what? I choose to be happy because I'm blessed beyond measure. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to have a great church. I don't deserve to have the vehicle that I drove in or the clothes that I wore or the food that I ate. I don't deserve a great family. But while I was yet a sinner, while I was born and shapen in iniquity, my Savior looked down from heaven and He saw a value that I could not imagine. He saw a worth that I could not imagine. And He loved me enough to die for me. But He didn't leave it there. He left the church with elders and examples and pastors and ministers and the fivefold ministry to perfect that body. To pour into me everything I needed to be what God wanted me to be. So I can live with the fullest potential that God has created. And I want to tell you here in the sanctuary and you watching online. You can be whatever you want to be. And you are what you are because you want to be. And I know that's bad English and that may be offensive. But we are what we are in life because we choose to be that way. If we wanted to be something different, we'd change. And our founding fathers on this great 4th of July weekend chose to give us the greatest nation on this earth under the inspiration and direction of God. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. I don't want to take that for granted, not just for me and my family, but for my children. And if God tarries, for their children. Because God has given this church and this nation a great commission to go and to preach the gospel in the highways and the byways. But He has given us His Spirit. That we can be born again, that we can be transformed, that we can be renewed, and that we can be empowered to reach our world. In Mark chapter 16, you can turn with there. Actually, I'm going to back up. Go up to Psalms 133 and 1. And I just want to say, one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. When we work together, our world can be changed. Psalms 133 and 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. William J. Seymour, an African-American man who was the father of the Azusa Street Revival, said the color line was washed away in the bloodline. I'm going to say that again, and if you're taking notes, you write that down. William J. Seymour, Azusa Street Revival, said the color line is washed away in the bloodline. And as I get into this message today, I want you to understand, how many believe that they have faith? Everyone should raise their hand because God said he's given us all a measure of faith. Every one of us have faith. But I want you to understand, faith works in more than one way. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And understand, we can have faith as a shield in the armor of God. That faith is that shield will bring up and protect our family. You can have faith as a gifting. That's to minister to those in need around you. And you can produce faith as a fruit in our daily provision. So understand, yes, we all should have faith, but faith can work in multiple ways. Amen? And all I am is simply a Bible believer. I believe what's in this book. And I believe you do too. And I want to challenge you, encourage you. Maybe the Holy Ghost will convict you a little bit to let out what God's placed within you. Because he can do more than we can think or ask with what he's already gifted us with. In Mark 16 and 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. It's important to believe in the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other name. When I believe in that name, it accesses me to promises of God that signs will follow, that I'll have the ability to cast out devils, that I will speak in new tongues. If I take up a serpent or drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. I will lay my hands on the sick, and it's not that they might recover, but they shall recover, a guaranteed promise of God. And that wasn't just reserved for the ministry. That was for every person that would let the Holy Ghost out and be a born-again believer. Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, where I took my text or my title from this morning. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Understand, it's God's desire to heal. God desires to heal our world more than I want him to, or more than you want him to, more than all of us. Because it was his heartbeat from the foundation of the world to heal what was broken by sin. Luke 6 and 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Not some. Not just one or two or half a dozen, but every single person that had faith in God and sought to touch him, he healed every single one of them. See, I feel some pushback, and I'm here to rebuke it tonight. I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, maybe if God could see fit, we stop begging. We speak the word of faith. God didn't promise you might be healed or you could be healed. God desired and showed himself available to heal all. And understand, nowhere prior to this did people really seek to touch God, but because a little old woman with an issue of blood said, if I just can but touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. Suddenly everybody said, wow, if it worked for her, it'll work for me. So you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm just going to share a few testimonies of what God's done for me. And I hope that will challenge you, encourage you, invigorate you to go out and do likewise. Because like I said in the beginning, I'm nobody special. I just believe what's in this book. And because I believe it and because I live by it, God will fulfill it. But he'll do that for you too. And he wants to. You know, growing up overseas, and even backing up, I spent 21 years as a minority. So I understand what racism is like. I've lived on the other side of that coin. Okay, it's only in the last 2 years that me and my family and wife have moved back to the U.S. I spent 14 years as a mission kid and 7 years as an appointed AIM worker with my wife and our family. Understand, in all those years, I've seen God do more miracles than I have time to share this morning. But I'm just going to share a few. I remember when we were first newly married, We would invite people over to our place to have a nice dinner, because overseas where we live, most people did not have too good of meals. And we didn't have much of a budget. Most of our meals, me and my wife would split a pack or two of ramen noodles a day, and that's all we could afford. Because we would save up our money, and then every week or two when we save up enough funds, we'd go and buy a really nice meal, and we'd invite a few people from the church over, and we'd feed them that meal and fellowship and mentor and disciple them, and then we'd send the leftovers home with them. But I remember there was one particular time when We thought we had enough, but my wife opened up the rice container and realized there was only one cup of rice left in that container. And we had two hungry boys coming over that night. Hungry boys. And I don't know about you, but one cup of rice doesn't go too far with four people. And my wife just put it in the pot and prayed and said, Jesus, we need this food to be multiplied for your glory. You asked us to have them over, and this is all we have left in the pot, and please multiply it. There was no lightning or thunder. Or the pot didn't suddenly blow up with rice. She cooked that one cup of rice, and we brought the four plates over, and we just began to scoop out the rice. And every time we took a scoop, it went down, but it just went down really slowly. And we were able to fill four plates full of rice, plus send the whole Cool Whip container home with one cup of rice. We had a few other things that went with it too, but understand, it was simply asking God and being obedient to God. And it wasn't some fancy, long, oratorial prayer. It wasn't, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was just, Jesus, I need your help right now. I'm being obedient. God, multiply this rice in Jesus' name. Amen. Simple, straightforward, anyone can pray it. And if God did it for us, He'll do it for you. See, God's not worried about how He's going to provide for the church in these COVID times. He's not worried if the supermarkets or the stores run out of food, because the church is going to be able to give them food, because our cupboards won't run dry. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So don't be worried. If God could feed several million people in a desert and make their clothes never wear out, God can do it again for the North American church and the church around the world. Amen. In Psalms 105 and verse 1 through 5, it says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the hearts of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. You know, I'm going to talk about this later, but I'm going to briefly mention now. A lot of times when I get up to preach, y'all will hear that I'm not supposed to be alive right now, and I survived from a fatal brain tumor. I had an inch by half an inch brain tumor on my pineal gland in my head that's on the back of my brain stem under my brain. And any of you watching online may not be able to see it, but I have a scar, an incision across my forehead where the surgeons went in and under the hand of God were able to operate and remove, and I'm still alive today. By his grace. And some of you may say, why do you always say that? Did that tumor affect your memory? No, it didn't. Why am I always talking about God's miracles? Because right here in Psalms it says, make them known. How many of you have ever prayed for a need or a miracle? How many have spent more than a week or maybe even more than a month or maybe more than a year praying for something? But then why do we pray so long for something when it comes and we thank God and stop talking about it? If we are willing to pray for it for a year, we should be talking about it for 10 years. It never gets old. We should talk about it from now until Jesus comes or we pass away. His miracles, they can still transform lives today. It's not old. It's not irrelevant. It's not out of date. We need to continue to talk about what God's done. Frankly, we let the world intimidate the church to stop talking about the victories that they've won in their life. And I'm here to challenge you today. Let those miracles out. Let those testimonies out, because that's what will draw the world to God. And sometimes we may even do things where we don't realize. I remember one time before me and my wife were married, I was in the state of Ohio and it was in the middle of the winter time. And this is nothing against Ohio. If you're watching online, I love Ohio. My wife grew up there. But they don't believe in plowing like we do here in Wisconsin. They're blessed if they plow at all. And I was driving a cargo van with a 16-foot trailer, and the trailer was unbalanced, and I was driving on ice on the interstate. And any of you that ever pulled an unbalanced trailer, it likes to pull you around. And I wasn't driving a nice, you know, jacked-up, heavy-duty truck. I was just driving a cargo van, which wasn't as heavy as a trailer. And so that trailer was pulling me around. And I'll tell you what, I've drove a lot. I've drove in multiple countries around the world, and I've seen how they drive overseas where things is a little bit different, and I've drove overseas many times. But I'll tell you what, I've never been so close to meeting my Savior as I was that day when it comes to driving. I was going all over across that road. People were driving all over and going past me, and I could barely see, and that trailer was swinging back and forth. And it's probably the only time in my life I can say I've ever drove white-knuckled. But I had a hold on that, and I'm just praying while I'm driving, saying, God, I got to get from here to there. We're in a three-vehicle convoy, and I happen to be in the middle. And the guy in front just took off. And I didn't know where I was going. That was before GPS. Well, it wasn't before it. I just didn't have GPS. And my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, was several hundred miles away. And she felt impressed in the Holy Ghost just to pray for me. So right where she was, she got down. She began to pray and intercede on my behalf. And after I got to where I was going, I called her and told her what had just happened. And she said, I've just been praying for you because the Holy Ghost moved on me. And I'm here today to tell you that if she wouldn't have been sensitive to pray for me, I might not be here today. So don't overlook the urging of the Holy Ghost to pray for your brothers and sisters, your community, and your world, because you don't always know where they're at or what they're going. She had no idea where I was. Well, she knew the general area, but she didn't know exactly where I was. She didn't know what I was doing. She didn't know that I needed prayer and needed help and needed covering like never before at that moment. But she was sensitive to the Spirit of God. And she allowed herself to be led of God to pray on my behalf. And I'm here as the privilege and on behalf of that. And that's not the only reason I married her, but that's definitely one of them. And understanding these uncertain times, sometimes we may be wondering, where's finances? Where's money going to come from? Folks, he uses gold for paving. He makes gates out of pearls and jewels. He really doesn't have, we talk about he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, he has more provision than we'll ever need. But to go beyond saying, I'll give you two testimonies about finances. When we first got married, we are buying up the stuff to have those fellowships at our house that I already talked about. And we went to Walmart. We were just listening to the Holy Ghost as we walked through the aisles. He said, put this in the cart, put that in the cart. And I wasn't even at that time thinking, how on earth am I going to pay for this? I'm just saying, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you. We got up to the register, and I saw the numbers keep going up, keep going up, keep going up, keep going up. And I'm wondering how on earth I'm going to pay for it at that point. And I don't remember the exact total. I believe it was like $320-some, something like that. And at that time, I didn't have multiple credit cards. And understand, you got to learn how to manage your credit cards, okay? Credit cards can suck you in very quickly. I only had one credit card. It was a starter credit card at a $500 limit. But we were shipping some of her stuff overseas, and that card was basically already maxed out because we were trying to get all her stuff overseas that she would need and everything we would need for a house. But that's all I had, and that's what God said use. So I handed him my credit card. I didn't know it was maxed out at this point. Said declined. I looked at him, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. Could you please put that stuff aside? I promise I'll be back tomorrow, and we will pay for that in Jesus' name. And many of you that went to Walmart, they generally don't save your stuff. But we went home. We prayed in Jesus' name. I called the credit card company, found out it was maxed out. Said, okay, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you told us to get that. And we prayed, and God said, go back to the store. I'm like, well, okay, well, maybe we'll go back, Pastor, and there'll be a couple $100 laying in the parking lot, and that'll work. And so we drove in faith. We went there, and I opened the door, and I'm looking around waiting for it to blow by, and it didn't blow by. So I said, okay, God, now what? And he said, go back in and use that same card again. And I didn't say anything, but I thought a few things. I'll be transparent, folks. Sometimes we think some things. And I went back in, and I didn't expect to see the cart, but they still had it, and I took it up to the register, and they got it up, and I pulled that same card out that yesterday was declined, and because Jesus said give it to him, I gave it to him. And instead of declined, that day it was approved. And I went home. You can give God the glory. It's for his ministry. I went home and I called the credit card, and not only was that bill paid, Pastor, I still had I now had $100 credit on my card. Because he'll pay you when you listen and you're obedient to faith. And so he bought all the supplies we needed, and he gave us a little extra spending money for something fun or whatever we wanted to do. I don't even remember what we used it for. But understand, God has a plan. And I said this on Wednesday, but when it's his will, it's his bill, and when it's his way, he'll pay. Now sometimes we may need miracles of healing. I'll back up one thing. One other time, and sometimes it wasn't even that way. One time we had $200, we went overseas, and we put those two $100 bills in the safe. We left them there. we are, just in case you ever need them, rainy day, whatever. And all of a sudden, some unexpected bill, I don't even remember at this time what came up, but something unexpected. And we needed about $400, and we didn't have it. But we went back to the safe to grab those two $100 bills that we had put there and left in God's hands. And when I opened that safe, instead of two $100 bills, there was five $100 bills. And we were able to pay the bill and still have $100 left over. So God will take care of you. God's not worried in this time. But what God is needing is his church to be present and let him out. When I was six or seven, we went to the nation of Curacao with my family. It's right above. You think it was hot here. It's hot there. There it got down to about 100 at night. And they had copper tubing above the ground. It was a volcanic island, so they couldn't really dig in the ground. Copper tubing above the ground. We made a mistake of one time taking a shower in the afternoon. Never did that again. It came out of those pipes boiling. But understand, I was six or seven. I was running around our backyard, and I fell and scraped my knee on a little grate off the back concrete step there. And we just prayed over, bandaged it up, whatnot. But it was over the course of a week, we noticed that instead of healing, my skin was being eaten away. And all the soft tissue areas of my skin were suddenly starting to get like a bacteria and be eaten away. Well, we were on the mission field. And as I mentioned briefly on Wednesday, you don't go to the hospital on the mission field. You just pray and trust Jesus. And I'm happy to tell you by faith and prayer in God that he healed it. It took it away. And it's funny, and I know this may sound a little comical, but if you look at my ears, the soft little earlobe, my left one is a little bit shorter than my right one because that was eaten up and eaten away during it. And God healed it. He took it all away. But I always have a reminder when I touch that ear of God healing me. See, God will always give you testimonies to remember and reminders. So I can always touch my ear and remember where, yes, I had a flesh-eating bacteria, but by the grace and hand of God, he healed me. And whatever you're going through, God wants to heal it. Going on a few years after that, we went to Antigua. And I don't recommend what I'm about to tell you, but it's my story and I'm going to share it. We had someone staying with us at the church here in Antigua, and they cooked an egg in the microwave. And they put it in for so many minutes, I don't recommend that. I used to really like hard-boiled eggs. Don't like them anymore, and that's not the reason why we changed our diet. I put one in the microwave for however many minutes, and it worked. I'm like, that's great. So it was a Sunday morning, and I was hungry, and my parents were getting ready for church, and my father was putting his message together. So I went downstairs by myself, and I figured, hey, if one egg works for this much time, it's a young child, two eggs, double the time. Don't do that. Bad choice. I put two eggs in there. I doubled the time. I opened that door. I pulled those eggs out. I looked down and I saw bubbling water. That's the last thing I saw before those eggs and boiling water exploded all over my face. I ran upstairs, and it was only a miracle that I didn't fall going up all the flights of stairs back up to the upstairs apartment where my family was, screaming and holding my face. My father was around the corner. I came up the stairs and made a left corner, and my father was there, and he looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you, boy?" And I pulled my hands away from my face, and I'm not trying to gross anyone out, but the water was so hot that when I pulled, it burned my face, my eyelids, everything. When I pulled my hands away from my face, the outer layer of skin from my face was hanging on my hands. And that's what my father saw when he saw his son come running around the corner. It was a Sunday morning. We had people ready wanting to come to church. Jesus still needed to be preached. So we began to pray. Remember, we called Sister Kitty Rossing and asked her for her advice. And we notified the church here, and the church here at Calvary began to pray for me. And all day I soaked my face in ice cold water. I'd take a breath, put my face in the ice cold water, and then take it out, get another breath, put my face back in the ice cold water. And I did it all day as I laid in bed. And they went on, they had church. We continued to pray, and I'm happy to tell you within 2 weeks, my face was completely healed. I have no scars to this day from that event. I still have my sight, my vision, everything else. God is able when we give it to him and trust him in prayer. My wife, who has full range of motions in her shoulders today, has had rotator cuff surgery in both of her shoulders. And I'm going to back up. Prior to that, she had been... I know we got kids here, so I'll be careful how I say this, but basically she had stopped her cycle for over 2 years. The doctor said she would never have kids. Her entire body was shutting down. And so if your desire, and whether you're here in line or here in the sanctuary or online, I just feel if it's your desire to have children, God will heal your womb. And she had rotator cuff surgery. Her body was shutting down. And long story short, the doctors didn't know when she was going to die, but they said she's probably going to die. And they told her family. They asked her where would they like her, you know, where would she like to go? And she said, I want to go to Wisconsin and see where Benjamin grew up. And she came here. To make a long story short, she went up. Her and her family went up to the Dells, and me and a friend were able to go pick her up and bring her here to Calvary. It was the night my parents were doing their missions presentation, and she walked in looking apostolic because we had taught Bible studies over the phone for 7 years, but she had never once been in an apostolic building or church until she came here to Calvary Gospel. She sat right there on the third row. I don't remember. My father did the missions presentation. Bishop came up to give the altar call, and he said, back then, Bishop would always break apart the altar, and he'd say, if you need healing, if you just need general prayer, if you want the Holy Ghost, come down over here. Well, God changed what she heard in her hearing. Instead of saying, if you want the Holy Ghost, come down here, she heard in her ears, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, come down over here. And so she's like, well, this is Miss, no, I don't have the Holy Ghost. I can't be disobedient. So she came down here not even really seeking the Holy Ghost per se. She wanted to get baptized that night, but she was a little bit scared and nervous. And Sister Peggy Thomas came up and prayed with her for 45 minutes. Because my wife wouldn't stop praying. And Sister Thomas said, well, if she's not going to stop, I'm going to keep praying with her. And right here on this step, she was praying for 45 minutes, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. By that time, almost all the church, everyone was basically already gone. We went around to the back baptistry, and she was baptized in Jesus' name. And we didn't realize it till telling the story later on, but when she came up out of the waters of baptism, she had full range of motions in her shoulders. Because what happened is 2 weeks prior, you've got some... 2 weeks prior to that, her physical therapist said, basically, there's not a lot of hope for your shoulders. We may have to go in and break up all the scar tissue. Your shoulders are seizing up. Try saying that 5 times fast. And so long story short, so they didn't know really what to do. She came here and we prayed and came up out of that water, and God completely healed her. Amen. So, I did mention that my wife would never have kids because her body was shutting down. Well, we have 4 children now today, 2 with the Lord. Isaiah, you already heard at the beginning of the service. And I can't say her name yet because we're waiting until she's born. But baby girl that will be born any day now is baby number 4. But the doctor said that would never be possible. When we got married, we were planning on just adopting kids. Because we wanted kids, but it was just in God's time. And I remember we got married. God told us to try and have kids, and we just said, okay, God, we'll try. And I remember we got pregnant after the first try, and we carried them for several months, and we miscarried our first 2 babies on our anniversary. So every year when we have our wedding anniversary, we get to remember the miracle that God did for us and for my wife. And she went back to the doctor after that event of losing our little boy and little girl, and doctor checked and said, you're completely fine. You can have kids whenever you want. And see, sometimes miracles come through pain. I'm not telling you it was an easy thing to lose those 2 little babies. I want to see them, and one day in heaven I believe I will. But understand, I can't tell you how many countless people me and my wife have been able to minister to since losing those 2 babies. See, most times people don't talk about miscarriages. But when you're open and transparent and say, hey, I've had a miscarriage, suddenly people start to open up. We met one couple, they had 8 miscarriages. See, our world all around us is hurting. But we have to be willing to be transparent and vulnerable so they'll open up so then we can share testimonies and minister. And sometimes, yes, you may get hurt in the process. And I'm going to apologize in advance for that. But Jesus will heal you and help you. And when you do it with the right purpose and the right focus, God will use you to do great things. Because it was about a year later from that point, we were at the Ohio District Camp on deputation raising funds for the missions work we did. And there was a husband and wife couple there, and they weren't able to have children. But I'm gonna leave you with that, and I'm going to back up, tell another story, and then come back. And I'll be closing soon. Don't worry for some of you that are watching the clock. Prior to this, we were on the mission field, and my wife came down. We didn't know. We thought maybe it was her appendix or something else going wrong in her body. But she came down with severe stomach pains. And every time she would eat, she would double over in severe pain. And we didn't know what was going on. And we had my parents were away on traveling. There was no one there. We were taking care of the church, but I called pastor. I called my parents and I asked for their advice. And my father said, "Well, if you know it's that serious and everything, you need to come back, seek medical attention. Mind you, we are praying the whole time, but you got to let God lead you." And so, in the middle of taking care of everything there, we made an emergency trip back to the States with a wife and a newborn baby at that point in time. And we are in the middle of serving on the mission field. And I want to point this out because sometimes some people can let themselves be hurt saying, "God, this doesn't seem fair. This doesn't seem right. I'm in your will." And see, we were in the middle of God's will, doing what we were called to do, serving on the mission field, preaching the gospel, reaching the lost. Surely we could have said, "God, this isn't fair. Why is this happening to us?" And I don't know who this is for, but somebody needs to hear it. You may be going through something right now, and you may be saying, "God, this doesn't feel fair." God still loves you. God has not forgotten about you, but God has a plan in all of this. And if you'll look past your own hurt to His voice and to His Spirit, He'll lead you to do powerful things, and you'll have this testimony for the rest of your life. Because I remember we made it back to the States. We went to the hospital and they did all their tests and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. They checked and they tried and they poked and they prodded everything. And she wasn't feeling good. We had a newborn baby. And finally it's like, "You know what? We're going home." My wife looked at him and said, "I'm leaving." And the nurse said, "Well, if you leave and you die, it's your own fault. And we're not responsible." And my wife on that emergency room bed, whatever you want to call that thing, she looked up at that nurse and said, "It's okay, ma'am. If I die, it's fine. I'll go to heaven. I know God." And that nurse looked back and said, "Well, I'm not ready to meet him." And right there in the emergency room at an Ohio hospital, my wife was able to witness to an emergency room nurse about the plan of salvation and what it takes. Because see, we're nobody special. We're just trying to listen to Jesus. And Jesus wants to flow through you too. And see, we had to look past the pain, the hurt, the misunderstandings and the confusion of why we were there to find a nurse that needed Jesus. Now jumping back, the next day after we went back, I was in prayer and God said she had a food allergy. We went and tested and turned out it was a food allergy. And then we were able to, okay, now we know what it is. Now we know what to avoid. We went right back to the mission field and kept serving. But we were able to be a light and witness to those in need. Now jumping back to the Ohio camp, we were there and my wife was still dealing with this food allergy at that time. And I was holding Isaiah, and she's like, she looked at me, and she's like, I want to go over and pray for that couple, because God healed me, and God's going to heal their womb too. And I said, sure, and she gave me Isaiah, and I'm holding him, and she walks over, and I'm getting ready to go work and pray with people at the altar. And I simply, and this is what I want to say, it's not about the prayer. It's just about being real and honest with God. And I didn't even verbally say these words to Jesus. I just thought it in my mind. I said, "God, I sure would really like if you'd heal Victoria right now. I don't want her to have to deal with this food allergy anymore. We're trying to do your will. And God, I give it to you." And that's all. I simply just had a simple thought. Didn't even verbally say it out of my mouth. Just thought it to Jesus. "God, I want you to touch my wife right now." And then I went down and I prayed for other people. We had a great move of God. I don't even remember how many people were healed that night, but at least 24 or more people were healed. All different things were healed that night. And we're walking back over to the food canteen area. And as we're walking back, my wife comes up and says, I believe God healed me." Well, mind you, there's a number of things she's allergic to, and if she would have had like a bag of peanut M&Ms, it would have put her in the hospital. So I don't recommend this. A disclaimer, don't try this at home. This is our testimony, don't try this at home. We went back to the canteen, she got a bag of peanut M&Ms, she felt that God had touched her, and she began to eat them, and no pain, and no symptoms, no side effects from that day till this. God completely healed her of all her food allergies. And God healed that couple and gave them a child. But it was simply being available. If the worship team could get ready to come, I just want to share a few more stories. In Isaiah 40 and 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." I remember we were somewhere between the North and South Pole. And I say that because the next story I'm going to tell you, the lady doesn't want the credit for this. But we're at a church or in a district, and they are helping get ready for a block party. Where, if you don't understand what that is, it's where a bunch of apostolic churches come together, and they have activities and food for the kid, and they have a church service, and everyone gets together in unity and works together. And one of the small home missions churches we were at, and there was a lady there in a wheelchair, African American sister. She'd been in a wheelchair for several years, But she said, I want people to be able to come to this block party and be blessed like I've been blessed by Jesus. And in a wheelchair, she went through her community and put up 700 door hangers. 700 door hangers in a wheelchair. And I felt so touched. We were at the block party and I saw her near the altar and I really feel God wanted to touch her. And I walked over to that sister and I said, what do you want from Jesus? Anything at all? What do you want from God? He'll answer you right now today because of your sacrifice. She looked at me, Pastor, and she said, I'd like to speak in tongues again. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's been 10 years since I spoke in tongues. Now, those of you that speak in tongues every day and God bless you, you know the power that comes from the Holy Ghost. Here's a sister that had once tasted, but it had run dry for 10 years. But yet she still wanted people to experience what she experienced. And I said, not a problem. I said, sister, just like God gave it to you the first time, He's going to give it to you again. We began to pray, and in a few short seconds, she was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave her the utterance. If you're here in the service today or you're watching online and you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's really simple. It's simply talking to Jesus and say, God, I've sinned. I've made a mistake. Father, will you forgive me of those sins? I don't pledge to be perfect, but Jesus, I need your help to try and do better every day from here forward. And then you simply begin to thank Him for all that He's done in your life. And as you do that, you'll begin to hear words in your heart and mind that aren't English and aren't a language you've ever learned before. And that's the Holy Ghost. And as you begin to speak them out, that's the Spirit of God speaking through you. And I began to pray with her. And like I said, in a few short seconds, she was speaking in other tongues. And I looked at her and I said, sister, God's not done yet. God wants to get you up out of that wheelchair. Mind you, she hadn't walked in years. She had an extreme bone disease that made her bones extremely brittle. Just her standing up could cause her bones to break. And it was very painful. But I looked at her and I said, Jesus is going to heal you. You're going to walk in Jesus' name. And her son was with her. He got on one side. I got on the other. She grabbed each of our arms. She began to stand in Jesus' name. And said, every step we take, we're just going to say in Jesus' name. And we walked across that altar and said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't even remember how many steps we took. Probably 8-10 steps. We turned around to go back to her wheelchair. And all of a sudden, every step we said in Jesus' name, she put less and less pressure on my arm. Less and less pressure. So I leaned over to her and I said, sister, you're not putting any weight on my arm. She did one of these numbers. Kind of trying it out. That's okay. God's not going to rebuke you if you try out the miracle. God's not going to rip it away from you if you try it out. She was a little bit hesitant. She kind of gave a little rock back and forth. Suddenly, she realized what happened. She gave a shout of glory and she went to dancing. But understand, I want to talk to somebody that maybe got a miracle, but they feel like they've walked away from God or they've lost it. Because after she got out of the wheelchair, I watched her go back to that wheelchair and sit back down because she was scared. She didn't know all that was going to happen. So I went and I ran and I grabbed my wife and I told her what just happened. And you got to understand my wife. She may sometimes, well, you hear her laugh a lot and you hear her, but my wife is a pit bull. And she looked, she heard what I said and she said, oh no, she didn't. And she took off running. She didn't even wait for me to tell her where that lady was. She just took off running in the Holy Ghost. She grabbed that sister. She said, sister, we're getting back up out of that wheelchair and we're going to dance in Jesus' name. She grabbed her by the hands and they began to dance. And I had the privilege to put that wheelchair in the trunk of her car that day. Saw her about a year or two later on deputation. She pushed in her wheelchair, but this time instead of sitting in, she had her purse in it. I said, sister, how's things going? She said, oh, they're going wonderful. But I just always want to remember where Jesus brought me from. So maybe even if God's touched you and you felt like you've walked back from God, that's okay. There's forgiveness and there's mercy and there's love in the house this morning. Whether you're in this sanctuary or whether you're watching online, Jesus knows where you're at. He has the best GPS in the world. He can find you. He's already there right now. Maybe some of you already begin to feel His arms of love wrapping around you, and that's great. If you just simply let Jesus do it, and I'm going to pray and they're going to sing in just a few minutes. But understand this. You may say, well, you can't lay your hands on me to pray. That's okay. That's okay. But you see, when I was 16, we bought a piece of property in Antigua. And as we were clearing the land, we had a bobcat accident. And in my feet, my toes were bent all the way back up to my legs. Very severe accident. They thought I'd never walk again. And obviously you see I'm walking today. But see, sometimes God does instantaneous miracles where they're just instantaneous. It happens right then and there. And sometimes God takes and does what you call a progressive miracle, where step by step, he leads you through a process of complete and total healing. And as I had that bobcat accident, my father thought I was sitting on a bobcat, and I won't even get into time, but my father carried me into bed. He thought he just crippled his son. But we began to pray. And moving forward, all that ended up happening is I had one broken toe on my big toe on my left foot was broken. But it severely overstretched my tendons in my legs. And every time we would come to church, I would try and jump and I'd shout and I'd dance and worship. And I'd go to bed at night, Pastor, knowing somewhere in the middle of the night I'd wake up, tears running down my eyes, and felt like someone was raking knives down the back of my legs. But through gritted teeth and tears, I'd say, I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. He's been too good to me. I just can't stop. And wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, Jesus wants to be and has been good to you. You may not always see it because of the hardship or the pain, but he loves you that much. He wants to be good, and he wants his church to let that love out. And I remember I began to pray, and I couldn't even do this number, because every time I would go to crouch or squat down, my legs would shake and give out. But we were in Antigua doing God's work, and General Conference was on here in North America. One of my mentors, Brother Lee Stone King, was preaching. And he said, if you just lift your hands wherever you're at. He knew that General Conference, there's so many people, you can't pray for them all. He says, wherever you're at, if you just lift your hands. Well, I was some 2,000 miles away in our living room in Antigua, watching online. And I said, God, I need a miracle right now. I lifted my hands and I said, God, I want complete healing in my legs. And after a 4-year process of progressively, step by step, giving healing back into my legs, we prayed. He prayed the prayer of faith, and I just thanked Jesus. And this is all he asked us to say, and this is what I'm going to ask you to say. He said, lift your hand. So I lifted him. He prayed the prayer of faith, and he said, simply say, Jesus. So I said, Jesus, I receive your healing touch. So I said, I receive your healing touch. It was that simple. It's not overcomplicated. And 2,000 miles away from where that was even happening, by the internet, watching online, I lifted my hands in my living room and I said, Jesus, I receive your healing touch. And my legs were completely healed from that day to this. So understand, whatever you're going through, the altar team is going to sing, or the praise team is going to sing in just a minute. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of faith. I was going to group these, but there's just such an expectation of faith. I'm going to call out a few. Doesn't matter what you're going through, whether you have leg pain or knee pain or feet problems, whether it's something in your mind, whether it be mental or depression or physical, whether it be a problem with your eyes or your heart, whether it be a problem with your womb or your back or cancer in your body, whether it be a food allergy, your ears or your joints, whether it be finances, your home and housing or a vehicle, whether it be salvation for those that you know have come in contact, doesn't matter. It's all able for Jesus. If you would stand with me all over this house and online, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of faith. And whenever you feel ready, I just want you to simply lift your hands, begin to thank Jesus for the miracle, and let him know that you receive his healing touch. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, under the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, God, I bind every fear. I bind every doubt. I bind every unbelief. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I lose faith throughout this sanctuary. I lose faith online. I lose faith throughout this world. Father, you're our healer. Father, you're said by your stripes we are healed. Not by my will, nor by my power, but it's by your Spirit. So through the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, be thou healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, all over this sanctuary, all over online, would you just begin to lift up a praise of thanksgiving and of worship? Remember, worship is about who he is, and praise is about what he's done. Come on, the Holy Ghost is sweeping throughout this sanctuary. I believe it's sweeping through homes online. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my glory, but thine, oh God. Come on right now. Begin to try out that miracle. Begin to claim lost loved ones right now. Begin to claim whole cities and counties and states. He's able.